This is a Pinball News production.
All right. Hey, guys. My name is Paul Manletort. I'm the Vice President of Business Development and many other hats over at Market Specialties. And just a quick show of hands. How many of you guys are currently customers or stuff in the last year or so? All right. Now, how many of you are actually customers, not just buttering me up? I mean, come on. I didn't ask you, Jim. We'll never satisfy you, Jim. We always try, though. So we're very proud to be here today. As if any of y'all saw our little jungle gym that we're trying to put up there, we'll have some cage fighting later and some other interesting events. Mostly pinball, though. Don't worry. Glad to be the first session of the day. That means hopefully none of you will fall asleep unless you had too big of a lunch. And we're excited for everybody to be here. So it's kind of hard to pick things to talk about when you're a pinball parts company. You can back it down. I'll hold the mic closer. Check. All right. Can you guys hear me okay still? Hey, back it down a little bit. Okay. I don't like the feedback coming through the microphone. Anyway, so just wanted to kind of give you guys just a little, just real quick, 15, 20 minutes. I'm not going to put you guys asleep. We can go into our new line of 8/32 screws. I don't think anybody really cares about the little detail parts. You know, we're adding dozens of parts every week on our new system. Really the main project that we've been working on, and actually this got kicked off back in 2010 when I came back on full time with the company. I've been on and off of the company since I was yay high due to some genetic disadvantages being Mark's son. But basically one of our first projects we came back online was to bring our new website online. So as you all know, we have way too many parts to keep track of manually. So we have one of the world's largest online collections of pinball parts. We've been working on it for over 10 years now, really, with our current set of data. And back in the beginning of this year, we pretty much threw out all of our old systems and started from scratch. So, I mean, who all tried ordering parts from us last year or 2 years ago? Show of hands. Yeah. Did it kind of suck back then? It was a little slow, crashed a lot. And yeah. So we were running on ancient technology back then, I think, is, stuff they're using the first space shuttle still. And so we threw all that out. We migrated to some new systems. We own all of our source code now. We upgrade all of our back-end systems, and it's been a pretty monumental project. We've got thousands of man-hours tied up in it. And hopefully, I don't know, do you guys like it better now? Is it a better site than it used to be? All right, is it worse? Anybody? No? All right, so we're still working on it. So the good news is that we're able to add new features to the site again. So we actually have full-time developers now working on it, and we're continuing to roll out new features on the site. And it's going to continue to improve. We got a lot of things planned. We're trying to make it, the big broad goal is to become the Amazon of pinball, but we got a ways to go before we get there. But in the meantime, we're, busy just trying to acquire and order parts so you guys can have access to them, because the main mission at Marco is just to keep games out of landfills. So as you all know, we try our hardest to have all the little niche parts available in the world to help keep your game running, so in addition to all your commodities and stuff too. So one of the biggest things that we actually didn't really advertise lately, but I want to let you guys know in case you haven't ordered recently, was we introduced flat rate shipping with the new site. So if any guys worked on any projects in the last couple months, you probably noticed this by now. But yes, that is our official new policy. We rolled that out back in the spring. We've just been testing it, so we haven't really been beating the drum on it just to make sure that we weren't going to go out of business from it. And so far, so good. And I'm sure if you were to Google Marco sucks on RGP, you'll see that thread come up quite a bit of how ridiculous our shipping rates used to be. So we did take your feedback to heart, but it takes a while to implement feedback sometimes, and we apologize it took us so long. But we are happy to know that we finally got there, and pretty much anything you ever order on our site now, it's $7.99 shipping, whether it's pinball machine or a screw. And as you all understand, it's really tough to get one little bitty little itty-bitty parts out the door. So that's why we had that flat rate threshold, just try to encourage you to make it at least get some more stuff in that box before you get out. But part of that is we did notice that we do have a ton of orders that are small little orders anyway. So we went back and forth, and we also compromised and added a $4.99 shipping level for little parts orders. So if that order comes up in the system under 13 ounces, it's going to give you that option to get it out the door domestically. Sorry, Australia. We can't ship stuff there for $5 yet. We're trying, but that's going to take probably some drastic cuts in petroleum prices before that happens. And as usual, if you've been to any of the shows lately, we've been running our free shipping promotion too. So if you come into order this week while we're here, kind of as a little, you know, thank you for coming out to the show and supporting Expo, you know, we'll ship you some parts. So it's like we brought the whole inventory with us. And let's face it, you're not going to fix your games till Monday anyway. So you'll have the parts next week when we get back. So that's the big news on the big shipping change there. I hope any folks been taking advantage of that. Did anybody notice that we had it on there? Yay, nay, just one person? Great. Well, I've seen the amount of complaints on the news groups go down quite a bit, so I'm assuming it's working well. The squeaky wheel does eventually get greased. So, yeah, I appreciate your all's kind and unkind feedback in that regard. Another project we've been kind of soft rolling out lately is a pin coil project. For those of you in the know, we actually acquired a coil company earlier in the year called Santucci Enterprises. It's now part of the Marco family. We have all the assets, coil winding machines, data, a whole bunch of other knickknacks and paddywhacks, and it's really tough to make a coil, as it turns out. And we're rolling out a line of coils called pin coil, which is basically coils that are directly produced by Marco, by our manufacturing subsidiary. And we're pretty much start with the most popular coils and are working our way down from there. So you may have noticed on the website we're slowly updating the coils from the old generic stock coils to pin coil branded coils. These are actually manufactured to a much higher quality standard than they used to be. So we're actually testing every coil as it goes out the door. It's being made to some proper engineering specifications. We have an inspection process, some higher soldering standards, and a few little things that, again, there's a million ways to screw up a coil. And, of course, we did learn all this stuff as we're ramping up the operation. So. But now we're to a point, I think we have a few dozen models already shipping, and we're going to keep on increasing those as well. And you'll see more formal announcements about that towards the end of the year, early next year, as we fill out the product line. We don't like really talking about stuff too much until it's ready to go. Here's an example. You might, if you've oiled coils lately from us, you may have seen a couple of these come in the mail. This is a standard 11630 coil. We'll also start putting some specs on there, too, just some rough guidelines in case you're start getting creative. I know a lot of you like to switch coils out to play with stuff, so it'll at least give you some more guidelines as far as power and resistance goes, and you at least know what the coil is supposed to look like, especially if you start shorting them out somehow, and you at least can measure that, get your DC resistance references right there on the wrapper. So just nice little features there. We also include diode diagrams on most of the coils now, so if you guys get poking around with screwdrivers while the game's on when you shouldn't be, and you're blowing up diodes, you can at least check to see how your diodes are supposed to hook up when you're fixing those. Just on the pin score front, yes, pin score is still underway. We actually have a couple of big projects. We're hoping to have some stuff out by Expo, but as with any engineering project, we've seen some delays, but just want to let y'all know we are still working very hard on that product line, and we'll continue to do so going forward. Another project, which you may have noticed, but we haven't really talked about, in fact, this is the first time I've really talked about publicly, is our Pinball Rubber Works project. Rubber volumes have gotten to a point where we've gone direct on it, and in the process of doing so, we decided that we needed to go ahead and update the formulation and get some better rubber for the pinball industry. So this is the result of all that work. Today, if you order rubber from us, we have most of the sizes that are now shipping with our new formulation of PRW rubber, and you'll see this around a lot of folks. Around mixed in with some ring kits that you order, and also if you order pieces from us. And as the old sizes deplete and we get the tooling done for the odd size, we'll have the whole line done. So right now, it's mostly white rubber rings that we're doing in this area. And one of the big areas is, again, we had the custom formulation done, so it's not gum rubber. Gum rubber technology is 40, 50 years old. And as we all know, it dries out, it's kind of yellowy, doesn't last that well, and it's not, it's got a few qualities about that. While the play is nice and the durometer is nice on it, we found that long term, customers need more durable rubber, take advantage of some of the new rubber technologies that come out in the last 20 years. So pretty much we actually worked in some automotive grade rubbers in there, which has been a huge, one of the hardest areas in any industry to make rubber for is the automotive industry. So of course we implement some of those formulas in there. The stuff is 40 durometer, which is pretty standard. It's a more lively play rubber. It's got some good bounce to it. If you all remember, the 60 durometer rubber is like black rubber in that area. It's a little bit harder. It's got less bounce on it. Again, it's more control, but old gum rubber is about 40, generally speaking. It's more chemical resistant. There's some other Chinese rubber out there that if once you took some petroleum-based cleaners to your play field, it's pretty much melt the rubber in half. So we want to make sure that that wasn't going to happen on this rubber. It's all synthetic, so which that basically leads to a longer shelf life for the stuff. A lot of gum rubber, if you leave it exposed to air, it dries out over time, and it just doesn't sit that well in your game over 10 years. We also made sure there's some compounds in there for abrasion resistance, which is one of the most common causes of rubber failure in a game is from abrasion resistance. Also, the supplier we're using has a proper ISO process, International Standards Organization, so they actually stick to inspecting, and there's a good quality control process on this rubber, so you're not going to get a bad batch of this stuff. And our old suppliers in the past used to have problems with, oh, we got a bad box of stuff, got to throw it out. So anyway, we're rolling this out, so you're going to see this as you order rubber. It'll be in the ring kits there, and we'll do a more formal announcement again sometime in the spring, probably, once we get the rest of the tooling and the odd sizes done there. So that's what's going on with that stuff. Other than that, those are the big things that have been going on. And, of course, we've been adding dozens and dozens of parts every week. Every time we find a buyout, we'll do that. Anytime any of you guys are making a part and you get in touch with us, we'll go ahead and add to our catalog and work with you guys on that. So I know we've had quite a few successful projects in that area, and we're always open to doing more. So, and things have been going very well. The industry has been great. We've been traveling around the country, so I see a lot of familiar faces from all the other shows we've been doing. So we hope to keep supporting the show industry. It's a top priority for us right now as well. So, because this core audience right here, you guys are the core of the pinball industry, and we recognize that. So that's where we're going to continue to support all of you through these shows. When working with Rob and Mike and the Pinball Expo crew, they said, hey, we need to do something fun here. So I don't know how Photo Scavenger Hunt came up, but it did. So we ran with it, and we're excited to say we have the first official, hopefully not the last, Marco Photo Scavenger Hunt. And basically we came up with a list of clues here. And where'd they go, Steve? Do you have them? Okay. So this is my comrade in arms over here, Mr. Steve Midget. You may have talked to him on the phone before. He's one of our sales guys. And we've printed up a nice stack of clues here. Pretty simple. I think most of us have smartphones, or at least friends with smartphones. So run around the show and get pictures according to the clues. And if you first three folks to get back to the booth with that finished, throw it on our Facebook page, and we'll give you some prizes. I think we got a few
back glasses, a couple books.
Oh yeah. I actually had bullet points on here. Yeah. So throw it on the Facebook page. I got some new back glasses that we're gonna let you take home. They look good on your wall, or if you happen to have those games, looking better in the game. And of course, Gary Flowers' book as well. I think we had a copy of that. We're gonna hand out. And of course, if you don't make it first, we'll still hook you up with a T-shirt or whatever other swag we can find in the booth there. And I'm sure there's some neat stuff in there that I haven't unpacked yet. So we'll take care of you. So just on your way out, just grab one of these, get to snapping. I mean, we're going to be still setting up the booth until 6 probably, but do what you can do. And that should be that. So with that, that is what I had prepared for you guys. Again, less than 15 minutes. You're welcome. And at this point, I'd be more than happy to entertain any questions, or if you have any very specific part requests, we can take care of that too. Yeah. Yes, Rob.
If I have an old foil, an old Kenko game or something, you guys find those as well?
So the question is, if Rob has an old coil from a what kind?
Gecko.
Yeah. Oh, Genko. Yes. So yeah, if you need custom coils done, we can talk about that. Generally, there's... the standing policy is, you need any part, let us know. We'll definitely put it on our research list. And if we get to a point where, with coils especially, if they run on standard bobbin size, we can probably either, yes, wind it or find you a good enough substitute for it. And the short answer is yes, let us know. And the long answer is probably. I had a question up front over here. Well, yeah, so part of the acquisition was we did acquire a lot of tooling for bobbins. So we have a lot of those odd sizes that we have access to get molded. So they are standard sizes that we have the tooling for, so yes. now, if it's an odd bobbin size, then if you got to get a tool made, then that's going to be a longer discussion, obviously, because as many of you may know, injection molding tooling is very difficult to procure dollar-wise. Yes? As far as we know, obviously time will confirm, but it is intended to be UV resistant. Obviously, with white rubber especially, there's always going to be UV concerns. And then also, we weren't able to make it ozone resistant. In fact, I don't know of any regular rubber that is, but so that's always a concern with any rubber is ozone, believe it or not. So, but yeah, as far as we know, it's the best formulation for the price and the, you know, the other trade-offs as well, and have it still be playable. You know, could have brick hard rubber. I don't think anybody wants that. Any question back? Sorry, could you say that again? yeah, it actually just come by the booth and we'll take care of you. Yeah. They got a little secret button there that can knock the shipping off for you. Or worst case, just email us. We'll fix you up. Yes. Well, if you can have any post you want for $1,000. No, Mark, I don't know, you might, 1960s, the question was 1960s playfield posts, the plastics in particular, are those on the roadmap? Maybe. Yeah, talk to us afterwards, we'll figure it out. Yeah. If it's a new tool, again, tougher discussion. If we can find the old tool, then it's easier. But yeah, come talk to us, we'll figure it out. Yes. Yeah, so if you've and actually that's an area that we've always been arguably the strongest in is odds and end parts, so it's hard to go into details on those parts. But in general, we try to acquire legally, of course. I know there's a lot of turmoil with the actual licensing for a lot of parts, but when we can, we will stock any game specific parts that are available that are, you know, licensed reproductions. And what we work really hard on is finding old stock of stuff. You know, say there's an old box in the warehouse, whatever. You know, when Williams went out of business, we acquired a good deal of that stock, for example. But yeah, the goal, you know, we try very hard to have as many odds and ends parts. You know, we have stuff that sits on our shelf we sell one a year of, and those are the parts that, you know, we try to acquire those and make those all available, because a lot of times that's the part you need to finish your project, so. Right, so, you know, and we're first and foremost a distributor, don't forget. And we do work with the other licensors that are making those parts. So, obviously, Rick is doing a lot of the side art and the back glasses there, CPR up in Canada and the Germans, and there's some other folks that are doing parts. So, we work with all those vendors. I mean, as they become available, we'll stock pretty much everything. We have pretty much standing orders with everybody. You know, they make a part, we get it. I mean, we're a distributor first and foremost, so probably not. You know, if, yeah, no, right now it's not on the roadmap. So, yeah, to answer your question. Yeah, fair. Anybody else?
No, the one thing I want to say is I collect the 60s Williams games, and to see them come out with those tubular legs, I thought it was pretty impressive. So, you know, I think they're dedicated to helping the hobby out. So, Mark, we thank you for doing that. And Paul, because that was pretty incredible. But something you don't see every day. I mean, who would have thought they would reproduce those legs? That was pretty neat. Any other questions? Anyways, their booth will be back here, and I'm sure you guys have a good time seeing it. Paul, thank you kindly. Great job.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Be well.
And I'll put these scavenger hunt sheets by the door so you can grab on your way out and get the photograph and stuff. Next guy ready, or do I need to filibuster over here, Rob? I guess we're done here. All right, guys, thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it, and thanks for coming out to Expo.